Hey guys, thanks for being a part of the podcast here. If you do want to see the video version of the podcast, head over to YouTube there so you can see me as well as every guest that comes on here, and you can see us live and in action. Have you read The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication by John Maxwell? If you have not, today I want to talk to you about my thoughts and the summary on this book. What's up, guys? This is Philip Sessions, your public speaking coach, here to bring you a book review this time. We've only done a couple of these now, but I really wanted to talk about this book, The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication. Now, John Maxwell is known as a great communicator. He is the father of leadership, better known as that, but also an amazing communicator. And as you've probably listened to my podcast, I probably said it a time or two that communication is everything. So communication is involved in leadership, and John does an amazing job. He's got over 20 books. So it's pretty crazy to see that he continues to write these books over and over again. And they just have so much information. Let me look here real quick. I think 300 and something pages. I'm close to the end. Yeah, almost 300. 295 is where I flipped to right here at the end of the book. But about 300 pages of just packed information, lots of great stories. And that's one thing that I really noticed as he wrote this book, that it wasn't just about giving information. And he talks in here about, hey, how he likes to do bullet points and stuff like that. And he likes to do that when he communicates, when he speaks on stages and everything. But he always applies some kind of story. And a lot of times it's a personal story that he's experienced or has happened in his company. And that was one of the first things I really noticed within this book, that it continued to happen over and over again. And I've told y'all before, and I'll continue to tell you, share your stories. Yes, you need to give the data, you need to give the information, but you also need to share the story. And John does an amazing job in here. And I'm trying to find my first point. I just flipped right past it. But the first point here that I really saw on page 102, where he talks about these four things that he always tries to put in, is heart, help, humor, and hope. And I'll just read these real quick. So if you decide not to read the book, heart, what he means by that, it touches people at an emotional level. So when you speak, when you communicate, you want to use heart. You want to touch the people at an emotional level. You want to help them. It gives people something they can think or do that improves their life. So as you're communicating, you need to be thinking about how can you help as well. And then humor, it makes them laugh. And you may not use all of these at once. Let me put that caveat in here real quick. You may not use them all at once, but these are the four H's that he likes to use. So humor, it makes them laugh, kind of obvious there. And then hope, it inspires them and helps them believe in a better future for themselves or for others. So the more you can put all four of these into your communication, into your speech, the better your speech is going to be, the more impactful it'll be, and the more it will touch people. I mean, just think about that. If you are getting to people on an emotional level using your heart, how good is that going to be? If you can make them laugh through humor, how good is that going to make them feel? Which is an emotion as well, but it's a little bit different than getting emotional, because most of the time we think about, oh, we're really touching their heart. We're really getting them in their feelings and making them really just, oh man, I really feel that. Or I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Stuff like that versus, this is hilarious. And then helping them. Are you improving their life from your speech? Something to really think about. And this can be emotional as well. This can be humorous as well, as you're helping them with that speech. And then finally, the hope. Do they feel like there's actually hope for them? Or is this just a great story that you're sharing, or you're giving a lot of great information, but they don't know how to use it to transform their life? So when you give all four of those things, it really helps your speech and your communication, as John talks about. And the next part is kind of talking about putting the body on the bones. And so he's got this great thing here. Hopefully you can see it. Yeah, this little graph here, I can see there, which it talks about entertainment, education, aesthetic, and escapism. So I'll read those again. So education, where is this teaching in my content? Yeah, so it's to learn. Escapism, to do. Where is the interaction in my content? So how are you, helping them escape? How are you, not necessarily entertainment, but how are you making them feel like they're not in their body at the moment? And the entertainment, to sense, where is the emotion in my content? Which really goes back to the four H's. And then finally, aesthetic, to be there. Where is the connection in my content? So are you connecting? Are you giving them that emotion again? Are you interacting with them in your content? Or is it just you're speaking up on stage, you're looking down at them, stuff like that? And then where is this teaching in your content? So you want to make sure that you're educating them at all points, but you're not just educating and it's just like going to a lecture at a college or anything like that. You don't want to bore them to death. And so I found that interesting as well. And then within that graph I showed you about, it had absorption. So the more educational entertainment, the more they'll absorb it, but they won't be immersed into it. And so there's these things. But then if you are on the extreme of being entertaining and aesthetic, they're going to be passive participants. So they're going to be just watching, but they're not going to be involved in it. They're not going to have really a lot of emotion involved in this. And then for your active participation, it's educational and escapism. So it's getting them involved with that. That's the active participation. And then for the immersion is the aesthetic and escapism. So you're getting them to interact with you, but then you're also getting them to be there with you. So there's these extremes. And the more that you can kind of go back and forth and get them to be absorbing the information, to be immersed in the information, and to be actively participating in it, I would say passively participating is probably gonna be the worst thing. But there's times like we are entertained by a movie and we don't get mad because we're watching a movie that's entertaining. So there are good things to that. But I would say it depends on your speech. If you're on a stage, you're probably gonna have more passive participation versus a workshop, you're gonna have more active participation. So that was another thing. And that's on page 117 of this book that I saw. And then one last part that I really wanted to bring up is he starts talking and he really goes into this in a lot more detail, but this is the very beginning. And these are some of the words that he literally says on page 152, using your strengths to communicate. And then point number one, leverage the strength that best helps you connect. And then he actually starts talking about the heart, help, humor, and hope. And so he actually talks about that. And the point two is leverage the natural talents that help you succeed. So really using your strengths to communicate rather than trying to communicate in a way that maybe I say is the most effective or somebody that you see that is a great leader, a great communicator, a great speaker, and how they communicate and how they speak. He's like, man, that's who I want to be. That's what I want to be like. It's not necessarily a problem that you try and adapt some of the things that they do and their mannerisms and everything and how they speak and communicate. But you also need to be you at the end of the day. The more you are you and you stay in your own strengths, the stronger your speech and your communication will be. And the more it's going to connect with people. And it really goes back to that heart, help, humor, and hope that he talks about at the very beginning. And he really just continues to talk about this. But that was just kind of my summary of this book, just giving you a couple of thoughts that I had here that I had earmarked a couple of these things within the book. Definitely go check it out. I took the cover off just so I wouldn't be fumbling around with it. But the 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication by John Maxwell is what you need to go check out if you want to get better at your communication skills, which this will apply to you speaking on stage as well. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Speaking Sessions Podcast. If you got anything out of this episode, make sure to leave us a review and share it with a friend. If there's anything you would like to hear on the podcast, please let me know. Shoot me a DM with your question or topic you want me to cover, and I'll make sure to cover it on a future episode. But with that, have a healthy and blessed day.